Genesis chapter 22 verses 1 through 14, this is the reading of God's word. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here I am, my son, and he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. On the top of the wood, Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket of his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear, so that we may hear your loving voice telling us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ through your word. Through your word, let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, and see what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Let us, as we hear your word, grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let our faith grow. And with that growing faith, let us witness our Lord Jesus Christ in all things we do and all things we say, even what we think. Oh, Father, we pray then that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A very, very familiar story. God commands Abraham to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. We are very much surprised that Isaac has to die, but we are also surprised that God would command Abraham to do something that God himself would later ban through his laws. As we all know, Isaac is a sinner who truly deserved to die. No doubt about that. But some people will say that Isaac is only a child. They will say, what did he ever do that God would command Abraham to kill him? God is cruel. And they think all children are innocent. But Psalm 51 verse 5 says, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. If we understand the story correctly, then we'll know that this story is about the amazing grace of God that saves a sinner who truly deserved to die forever. The amazing grace of God that prepared a ram in place of Isaac. You and I too are the sinners who truly deserve the eternal death, but God has provided, God has prepared for us the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, to die in our places. Indeed, the amazing grace of God. Verses 1 and 2, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. God is testing Abraham. And God tests us. Instead of getting rid of trials and sufferings from our lives, our God causes and permits these things to test our faith. My question to you and to me is, how far will I go in trusting our God? Will you believe and trust our God even if it means to die? In doing things for God, what is your limit? Where you draw the line and say, that I will not do for God. We must answer these questions. Here, the land of Moriah. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1a says, Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord, the temple, in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. So according to that verse, the temple is built by Solomon on Mount Moriah. And Jesus died on the cross just outside of the temple in Jerusalem. Thus, many biblical scholars believe that one of the mountains in the land of Moriah in our passage is the Mount Calvary, where Jesus died. God says to Abraham, Take now your son, your only son whom you love. To Abraham, his son Isaac is more precious than his own life. God is commanding Abraham to offer to God his very best. Again, in offering to God, what would be your limit? Verse 3, So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. You know, Abraham rose early in the morning. Would you? Not even a hint of hesitation. Offering Isaac. Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. On the third day, meaning that there were many opportunities for Abraham to change his mind. 3 days' journey, he could change his mind anytime. But Abraham continues to obey. He obeys to the end. Verse 5, Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey and I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. I and the lad will go over there and we will return. Both me and my son Isaac will come back to you. That's what he says. Abraham's faith is being witnessed. And he completely trusts in God. And we will see later what kind of faith that Abraham had at this time. He is certain that both he and Isaac will return. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac carrying the wood of the burnt offering, just like Jesus Christ carrying his own cross. Verse 7 and 8, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, and he said, here I am, my son, and he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac, how he completely trusts his father, Abraham. And walk on together. Can you just picture? Abraham and Isaac, with one heart, they go towards that place where Abraham will build an altar. And the rest of story, verses 9 through 14, then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid on the altar on the top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, and Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket of his stones. The Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Abraham did not even spare his own son. He fears God. He loves God. He loves God more than anything. Now just think about how this story will be accepted by sinful world. I mean, obviously, they will be really uncomfortable reading this kind of story. Because they just don't get it, what God has done for his people. If you are very uncomfortable with this story, then you are very uncomfortable with the gospel. Do you see God pours out his amazing love to Abraham in our passage? He's not being cruel, but he pours out his amazing love to Abraham, and not only to Abraham, but also to Isaac. God invites both of them to participate in his life. Through this event, we are told that God finds out Abraham's heart, what is in it. But in actuality, Abraham finds out God's heart. God's heart. To save you and me, God did not spare his son, his only begotten son, whom he loves, and Abraham now knows that heart. He truly understands. That's the blessing. Until you give your very best, you will never understand God's heart. And we're not talking about your best, you know, things of the world. I mean, that is included. Do you want to know God's heart? And God pours out his grace that Abraham now understands God's heart. Through this event, we know how much Abraham loves our God, and through the cross, we know how much our God loves us. How much does Abraham love our God? Abraham gives his very best, all he has. And how much does our God love us? He gave his very, very best, his own son. And Jesus Christ gave all he has, even his life. And this is what the gospel is all about. Until you understand this, we just simply don't know the gospel. Do you know what it means for the Father to send his Son to die for you and for me? Do you even have any idea what that heart is? You know, we're so easily just act like we get it. We don't get it. It is so amazing love that it feels uncomfortable giving up his own son. Offensive even to those who just don't get it. Just maybe take some time to sit quietly and really think about this. What it meant to the Father as he sends his son to die for you. What kind of love does God have for you? Love that this world will never understand. Love that even this world will consider offensive. Unless God gives us that heart, there's no way for us to understand it. In Philippians, we saw the life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. It was giving oneself for the good of the others. The very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only here, Abraham gives everything to God. You know, it will be easier for him to give himself to God than give his son to God. What you treasure so dearly in your life right now that you will have a hard time offering it up to God. You're faced with this dilemma. Because gospel is just that. No matter how much we have to sacrifice, no matter how much we have to suffer, no matter how hard it will be, the gospel is about giving all to God because He gave all to us. See, that love that is revealed in the gospel, if that love does not move your heart, no one is able to do it. Not only they're not able, they will not do this. Will not. But Abraham here is living by faith. Faith working through love. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. God already raised up Jesus Christ. Now, when you see that with faith, it's not so hard. See, with faith that God gives, it's not so hard to give up one's life because you already saw how He gives that life back. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. It's by faith, you see, that these people live such a way. See, when we read these kind of stories in the Bible, God is not giving us these stories as something that is just super, super Christian stories. What God is doing is He's showing these stories to say, this is what Christianity is. Now, we are so far away from the truth that our hearts are so far away from really desiring to love God and do all things for His glory, that it seems super stories. Abraham is not super. You and I have been drifted too far away. Because you are like these people. already. You just don't realize it. You just don't believe it. If you do not trust me, like I always say, just wait until you die and see if I'm wrong. You are already this kind of people. You know, God, when He saved you, when He recreated you, it wasn't, you know, full recreation, new creation. It was perfect creation. He made you already a son of God, citizens of heaven, already righteous in His sight. And that reality will be visible. Your job here is to believe, and as much out of that faith, you witness what you believe. You are already this kind of people. This is just regular Christianity. Through his life, Abraham witnesses his faith. Faith without works is dead. Through faith, he grows to be more and more like Jesus Christ and participates more and more in the life of Jesus Christ. Abraham participates in the life of God in loving us so much that he gave his only son. He also participates in the life of Jesus Christ in obeying God to the end. This is what our lives are all about. Participating in the life of Christ, life of God. You need to believe. And Isaac is also living the same life. You know, he was born when Abraham is 100 years old. In verse 9, when Abraham is binding Isaac, you know, how old was Abraham? Well, at least 110. Very old man. Could not Isaac overpower Abraham when Abraham was binding him? What do you think? You know, my son grew so big. If he exerts his power, I'm done. Could not Isaac overpower his own father when his father was binding him to kill him? Do you see it? Isaac also participates in the life of Jesus. Isaiah 53 verse 7, he, Jesus, was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, so he did not open his mouth. Even to the point of death, if it is about being offered up to God, if it is about being offered up to God, then even to the point of death, voluntarily obeys. He imitates our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You will find yourself in so many situations and you feel like you're bound and only thing that you are doing is waiting for that death to come. In that situation,
obey.
If you understand that to be the will of God for you. If I need to die, then I will die. If that is what God wants me to do. What does God want me to do? If He wants me to work so hard, if He wants me to not have good health, if He wants me to suffer, if He wants me to be persecuted, what will I do? Jesus, even as He was led to His death, He did not complain. He did not open His mouth. You know, this kind of people who do this kind of thing to the world is the most, you know, some people don't want me to use these kind of words, but it's the most pathetic people in the whole universe. Why would you do that? Do we trust God? That even if I have to suffer and die at the end, I'll be okay? That I will have my life back. And it's not just life. It's eternal life. Life of heaven. Why does this so matter much in between? When I know I'm going to be more than okay. What is so big deal? What kind of life you live for next 50, 60, 70 years? Huh? We know what God will do for us. We know what He has done already for us. What would I, you know, hold on to so tight that I would not give it to God? You know, Abraham, Isaac, and all of us, we are all sinners who truly deserve eternal death. But on the cross, the Lamb of God that God has prepared for us, all of us, Jesus Christ, died in our places. He died for our sins. He paid in full the complete penalty of our sins. We are saved by God's grace. And now, as sons of God, we are invited to live the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are invited to participate in His life. Thus, we too give our very best to our God. And give our very best to others. Because we now live the gospel itself. And only this life will bring the true joy of Christianity. You want joy? Live the gospel. All the other joy is the secular joy, temporary joy. It will not last. Only joy that God will give is joy of true Christian life. And as we live our lives, we will face many trials and sufferings, and we imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. We too obey the will of God to the point of death. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that is why Abraham is able to do what he does. That is why Isaac is doing what he is doing. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. There's no other way. And this is the Christianity that we are talking about. As you come to the table of our Lord today, as you meet our Lord Jesus Christ, as he gives himself to you through the elements, see what kind of life he lived for you. You know, what does those elements represent? His shed blood, his torn body. Now, what kind of life did he live for you? Do you see it clearly? He obeyed our Father to the point of death, and he gave his all, his life to us. Now, that life that these elements show, that the very life of Jesus Christ, that life is your life, is my life. Christians don't know any other life than that life. That is your life that God is calling you to live, calling me to live. Now, really think about this. What kind of life do you think God is calling you to live? What is your understanding? What does God want when it comes to you living your life? Well, just give it up, all those false understanding. That is the life that he wants you to live. But even as Jesus lived that life of suffering and persecution and death, but he had unspeakable joy. The joy of Christianity. As you participate in the Lord's Supper, you witness that you are now participating in that life. You are being one with that life. Or rather, I should say that you witness how you are one with that life as you participate in the Lord's Supper. What do you think this is? And what do you think you're doing as you participate? Somehow, when you eat of these things, what? You're going to be more rich and more healthy out there? All the things that you do will be so worldly prosperous? What do you think it is? Just by participating, well, you get all A's? Go to good college? What do you think this is? It's witnessing our union with the life of Jesus Christ. Our union with our Lord Jesus Christ himself. We gladly participate. And sometimes when you think about it, you don't even know why. I mean, you know why, but why would I, unless God blessed me? Unless he pour out his grace. Why would I do that? But he even brings us joy as we do this. That's why non-Christians would never understand it. Here we are. I mean, can you even picture? And can you picture this? As Abraham gets up early in the morning, and the neighbors come and say, "Hey, where are you going?" "Well, I'm going to sacrifice my son because God wanted me to do that." Little bit lesser version, they come to you and say, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm sacrificing my, precious job in this world because that just hinders me as I want to live godly life. Well, I'm sacrificing all my friends because those people hinders me to live the righteous life that I wanted to live. What are you doing?" "Well, I'm sacrificing this and that because I want to live the very life of Christ." The world will look at you with, they will think you're crazy. Why would anybody sacrifice all that just to live the very life of Jesus Christ, unless you understand the gospel? This is why, up to a certain point, when we share the gospel, it's among people who understand one another. And you go, "Mm-hmm." And you say, "Yeah, mm-hmm." That's how we talk. Because the world will never understand. Brothers and sisters, your job is not to succeed in the worldly manner. Your job is to be like Christ. And more you imitate how he lived, more blessed you are. Even without all the worldly success, you are the one who are blessed. So come. Come to the table. Gladly participate in his life. Because it is honor. It is our honor and joy to do so. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for inviting us to live the very life of Christ. Inviting us to participate in the life of Christ. Oh, Father, we dare say we want to know. We want to know your heart. And like Abraham, bless us that we may know it, so that we may follow after your heart, that we may love you with all we have. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.